What's happening, family? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. We are back with another episode. And like always, joining me in the studio, my family, sipping in conversation. Babies in the building. What's happening?
Hey, what's happening, family?
Oh, man, we're missing one. Missing Buddha. He's somewhere getting his rest and much needed R&R and all the other stuff.
Yes, he's been moving a lot. And I think that's probably why I'm starting to get under the weather. It's his fault. I hope he heard me.
He probably if he ain't done washed his behind. Hopefully he didn't put back on the same drawers. That's been a little bit of a hot gossip talk about what did I think half of a survey went out about half of Americans actually have worn their drawers twice or more.
Yeah, I was
in two consecutive days.
Yeah, I was looking at the survey.
That's crazy.
It was like 2,000 men and women, and like 45% of the American that were surveyed, that the respondents said that they wore the same underwear two or more days in a row.
Now, isn't it like can you do like a stipulation or something behind it though? I mean, like right now, okay, if you don't go home and take a shower, you know, you ain't did nothing all day, you just sat in the house, chill, okay? And you end up letting nighttime catch you, go to sleep, and now you're going outside, you still got the same drawers on, and you don't change, nothing like that. You change your drawers every day?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I didn't do it that night, I'm going to be first thing smoking in the morning. It's happening. Mm. New drawers.
All right. Well, that's something new. I mean,
I
may have done it maybe a day and a half, but that's because I was tired and I ain't smell nothing. So
men get away with it, seem like. I don't know. Y'all men, y'all be doing some strange things. Y'all like holes in your drawers and all that other stuff.
See, I don't know about
drawers, your weekend drawers.
I don't know about that.
That's what I heard.
Now, joining us also in the building tonight, we have the crew from the hit series or the upcoming series, Collision.
Yes.
We got the folks in the building that put the piece together. Can't wait to talk to them. Matter of fact, I'm going to start talking to them a little bit right now before we actually do our exclusive with them. But I'm going to go to Melvin first. Melvin, what you think about this whole... wearing the same drawers consecutive days.
well, first off, thank y'all so much for having us in the building. We greatly
Absolutely.
Appreciate being here on the TJ Chapman Show. Thank you so much. But wearing the same drawers, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's Saturday morning, you know, after a long, hard week of working, you know, being on set, you know, putting together a great series like Collision. I mean, you know, it ain't nothing wrong with
not at all.
Being in your drawers, you know, long as it ain't bothering nobody. I mean,
it ain't hurt his soul. It ain't hurt.
I mean, after a while, when you start smelling yourself, it's time to get up. You know, but. But until then, it's all right. I mean, don't you think?
I agree. I mean, Q over here shaking his head like, I don't know about that one. Now you don't went more day and a half. And you
know, no, I take my draw every day.
Every day.
I went well. My wife is watching right now, so she might have other things to say. You know, but
tell the truth.
But I'm just saying.
I didn't know that. So that's what that was smelling all this.
Right. Told you you're funky behind.
So D, what about you? I mean, you're
twice
female.
A day.
Twice a day. Oh, that's man. You probably hope you got a whole like a lot of a pack of drawers because that's a lot of laundry washing.
Well, I'm always on the road, so it's so I'm always doing things and being active. So yeah, I had to change and go to the next event and change and go to the next event. So yeah, sometimes I've seen it done three times in one day. So
hey, definitely wrong with that. Now last week we actually just wrapped up our 3-part series on commitment versus companionship, And we talked about once you've established that you're in a relationship, how important is it to let others know that you're in a relationship? And, you know, it was half and half. You know, some people say, well, ain't none of their business, you know, except for us. You know, but when it comes to introducing, you know, your significant other to other people, that's when it get kind of tricky. Some people get sensitive about, hold on, why you just call me by my first name? Why you ain't give me my title that I deserve? Now, Melvin, you married. When you introduce your wife to people, do you just say, hey, this is such and such? Or do you say, this is my wife, such and such?
Oh, I say this is my wife. I get in trouble.
Oh.
Yeah. When you married, it's a different story. You know, you got to let them know that this is wifey. Like, this is, you know, this is the one. You know, especially, you know, the ring is... You got to let people know that this is indeed her. She is the one. She is not to be touched. She is not to be disrespected. She is not to be done any other way. And, you know, for the young ladies who seem to be bold anyway, you have to address them and let them know respectfully. Of course, you're like, hey, you know, I appreciate it. I'm flattered, but I'm taken. You know, otherwise, my wife will let you know in a very disrespectful way.
Ah.
excuse you, you know, and we don't even want to get there. So, you know, mm-hmm. as a man, of course, you know, you absolutely have to let people know that, you know, hey, this is my wife, you know, and of course, if you don't, you're going to hear about it, or I'm going to hear about it when I get home. So, yeah, absolutely.
Is it important to you, though? Like, what about you? I mean, would you want your wife to introduce her folks or her peeps of, hey, this is my husband, Melvin, or would you be okay, hey, this is Melvin, meet such and so-and-so?
No, it's very important for me let people know that I am her husband, you know, because it means more, it says something when you let people know that this is the person that you're claiming. I don't want to just be seen as another man or another person in the room. You know, I am claiming this individual as mine. So, absolutely, yes, introduce me as your husband. And introduce him or her as the one you're claiming to be mm-hmm. your spouse.
Wow, okay, so it's very important. Q, it's important to you? Once you're in a relationship, you want to get that title, this is my boyfriend, this is my bae, this is my boo, or this is just Q?
For me, yes, definitely claim me. You know, let everybody know who I am. I'm not the type of person that you have to, as soon as we get together, go on social media and just post to me. You don't got to do all that type of stuff. But if we're out and someone says, hey, who is this? Yes, this is the person I'm with, you know, things like that.
Right.
Just because I do agree with Melvin, you know, people are bold these days. So you want them to understand, like, I am in an exclusive relationship with somebody. So I need you to just back up, plain and simple. Mm. But I'm not the type of, you ain't got to post me on social media, but out in public, definitely claim me.
Okay, out in public, ID, how you rolling?
I'm the same way, actually, with them two. Definitely, social media, I'm not big on it, but boldness is definitely an understatement, because these people out here definitely just don't even care half of the time, even if you are in an exclusive relationship. But definitely, if we're in public and we're in front of your family and friends, definitely claim me. But besides social media, I'm good with it. I don't need the whole world to know.
So you don't need to be like, you know, hey, why you ain't changed that status yet?
Right. No.
You know, go ahead and change that status real quick. Okay. All right. So before we get into the interview, tonight's topic, it's one of them head scratchers, because it gets confusing. Because what does it mean when your significant other tells you it's time to take a break from each other? That, I think that's just like left in limbo. And we definitely gonna touch on that. Babe, you got something to say?
Ooh. Well, I'm gonna let it go around and see what everybody else have to say on that one. Then I'll tell you how I feel.
So, Melvin, you the married one, okay? You the married one of the bunch that I know of. And yeah. y'all ain't married, is you?
Not right
see,
now.
Not right now, you say. All right, so, Melvin, your wife, you know what, baby, listen. I think we might need a break from each other. Just, you know, it's not you. It's not you. It's me. You know, I'm going through some things. We need to take a break. What that mean?
I pray that never happens. But I mean, from that perspective, when I first saw that topic, I thought about it in this sense. You know, when you hear something like that, it's you look at it as a time where, you know, how do I explain it? So when you, for one, you see it as, let me gather my thoughts. So when you're in a situation like that, you want to consider, I would first say for a married couple, it's a time where there's a disconnect within your marriage. And you want to consider, I strongly suggest, I'm a man of faith, counseling. And when I say counseling, I'm not talking about going to a family member or someone close to you. I'm actually talking about considering professional counseling. I've actually known individuals personally who has taken a break in their marriage and actually sought out professional counseling in a situation like that. And usually when you seek out a situation like that, it's normally a time where it's not where you're bashing and talking about where she's doing this or he's doing that. It's normally a time where you are reflecting on something that you as an individual did, or you as an individual have an issue with. Because normally it takes two people to fall in love with each other. It also takes two people to cause one another to have problems. So when you're actually taking a break or get in a situation where you actually have to take a break, it's a time to actually reflect on, all right, what have I done to cause my wife or my husband to fall in a disconnect between, have a disconnect within my marriage? What's the issue that I'm bringing to the table?
Probably they bored. That's what some people say. They get bored and like, okay, let me just try something different real quick and let me get that little 20% I ain't getting. Let me go on out here and see what I can do just to satisfy this little craving. But go on and stay there now. Don't go nowhere. I'll be back.
Well, I mean,
that's where I want to be.
Well, I would hope that's not the case, because if you would say, and again, and I'm speaking from a perspective of a man of faith, when you say that you're bored, then I guess my question would be, what do you mean by you're bored? That would be my first question.
Well, you don't do this no more. You don't do that no more. Like you did in the beginning. You get caught up. And you don't spice it up no more. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into that. And to me, I just think when a person says they need a break, they want, you know, probably want to explore some options, or sometimes they just want to, they're in a stressful situation, and you know, talking ain't gonna cut it at this point. Just give me some time. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, you know, chase somebody else. Mm-hmm. It just means they just probably need, you know, time to themselves. And if you're at peace with yourself and with what's happening, you know, you mentioned man of faith, then you will, you know, go for God and let him know, hey, listen, whatever is going on, I know you're already handling it. So.
And which is why from my perspective, I strongly would suggest any person that's married to seek out counseling, because you pointed out the stressful situation. And a lot of times that's where it comes in. Life hits you. And sometimes when it hits hard. Okay. And a lot of times, stress is the pressure that brings upon the situation within marriage, to where a married couple then says, "All right, you're the problem. No, you're the problem." And then you're forcing, instead of coming closer together with one another, you're actually drawing, pushing each other apart from you're drawing further and further apart from one another. So then, when that break comes in, the counselor or whomever that third party is will actually help you figure out what is the actual root of the issue.
Right.
And you address that root. And then you two can actually work together on healing your relationship. So the issue necessarily isn't each other. It's actually whatever that problem is, which indeed could be stress. Mm-hmm. Or indeed could be finance. Or indeed could be whatever the situation is. And addressing that will actually heal your marriage.
Wow. So, Q, what your old lady come up to you? Q, you know what? It ain't you, it's me. But I think we need to take a break from us for right now. I need to find out where I need to be at in my head, or whatever excuse comes up. What do you think that actually means to you when a significant other tells you it's time to, let's take a break from each other? Is that really a breakup or just?
Well, if someone says a break, my interpretation would be they're trying to take a separation, but explore other options. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't feel that it's either really going to work through this or we're just not going to do it. Because I don't believe in taking a break. I don't believe in that. Mm. I don't, you know, I feel like if something's happening, and I know in relationships, one of the biggest things is communication. That's one of the biggest things that a lot of people in relationships don't know how to do. And because one thing to talk to each other, but actually communicating and both parties are comprehending what the person is saying. I don't think that taking a break is the best route in anything. Because I feel like once you take a break, then they can go out and mess with other people, and then they can come, well, you know, what I did over there wasn't what I wanted. I really want you, but it's like, why you didn't stay, fix the problem, work on it together, communicate with each other, see what the issue is. You know, both of us working together, trying to fix the problem,
right,
instead of us separating to go mess around with other people or talk to other people or listen to our friends and stuff like that. Like, all that is unnecessary. I don't believe in breaks. I don't believe in it.
D, now, most of these questions that tends to be asked, mm-hmm, comes from a female sometimes, mm-hmm, because they feel some type of way about the relationship. But if a guy tells you, hey, baby, listen, we need a break from each other, what that mean to you?
For me, I would say okay, but there's no coming back.
Oh.
Because once we break, there's no sense of you coming back. We're going to split and go our separate ways because I don't want to waste no more time than we already have. So, and I think it's better for us to just go ahead and say, we could still be friends if you would like, but
just kiss and say,
hey, it's good. Exactly. Yeah. Communication, like you said, communication is very key. If we cannot work this out, and you're not trying to work this out, mm-hmm, then it's time for us to say, hasta la vista, baby.
So the door ain't open for return.
No return.
Closed.
Me and Q got the same memo. It's closed.
Well, I just needed to, you know, find myself. I wanted to, you know, figure out spiritually where I wanted to be in my life.
Those lines is basically excuses, because if we were together, we're supposed to be able to build together. So when you find yourself, that means I'm going to find myself within you, and you're supposed to find yourself within me. So when a person says that, that's just excuses to go and, you know, do God knows what, why, and then thinking that I'm still at home.
Waiting. So is it more so the verbiage that's being said? I know sometimes females, they get mad as hell. Be like, oh, fuck you, I'm going out. Get your ass out. And, you know, I don't want to mess with you no more. Now, Q, if that's being said, now, do you like, okay, all right, gone, I don't want you back no more? Or do you know, all right, you know what, she just mad. I'm going to just give her some time. 2-3 days go by. She still ain't talking to you, answering your text.
After the cussing, we're going to sit and talk about it first.
I don't
like,
want to talk to you.
On?
I don't want to talk
I'm
to
like,
you.
Look, we're going to have to talk.
Go on now.
We're going to have to talk. You can take a moment. I need you to come back. Let's talk about it. Let's see what's the problem is. Because it could be just finances. It could be stress. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be any of those things. But it's like, if you don't communicate that, how would I know what's wrong if you don't communicate it?
Or what happens if something that you caused and she ain't really trying to leave, but it's like, hey, you know what? I can't do this right now with you. You hurt me. We need a break right now until I find each, you know, till I can figure out what I want to do. Now what? Something that you caused. Oh, yeah. It turned now. It done turned.
Well.
You still give it that time? And
I don't think no time should be. I think you still just, should continue
just
to communicate.
Just communicate. You know, I'll try to work it out.
Oh, she did. She did. Like, listen, we can't do this right now. I can't do this with you right now. Just leave me alone. Give me some time to figure out what I want to do.
Mm-mm. You might as well just go on.
Exactly. even though you the one that caused it.
Because if she can't sit there and communicate,
if you can't fix it with me, then.
Well, when you're in a situation where, because my pastor said it like this: when you're in a situation where you cause the issue, you have to allow room for grace. You know, we go to the same church, mm-hmm. so you know, like when we're in a situation where, if I caused harm to my wife in a serious situation, I can't put her on a time limit for forgiveness. You know. So I gotta, you know, and also depends on like what it is that I caused as well. So if I'm door and I'm saying, all right, babe, I'm sorry. All right, let me back in. I can't put her on a time limit and say, all right, if you don't let me back in at this time, you know, then it's over. Like, if I'm literally the one that caused the harm, I have to give her the grace. I can't expect her to open the door when I say open the door if I'm the person that caused the problem.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, whoo, man. Now, that just sounds like a collision in itself. I think that's a perfect segue to switch gears a little bit and, you know, welcome the film producer, the director, and one of the cast members of this series called Collision. I'm going to start with the director since he's the one that's going to be directing this thing. So, Q, tell us about, first of all, introduce yourself to the listeners out there.
Yes. My name is Quentin Washington. I am the creator, director, writer of Collision, the series. Collision actually started off as Deserted, the web series. Deserted was originally about infidelity between a man and a woman. And then I expanded the project to focus Collision on mental health. I'm actually creating an entire universe series that shows how the seven sins are created within the entire projects. So every storyline will have its own significant topic. So Collision will be mental health and the signs of an absent father. So mental health is something that I wanted to touch on because a lot of people deal with it. A lot of people push it underneath the rug. They don't want to, you know, face it because they feel like they're going to be ridiculed by people, going to be talked about. Mm-hmm. They feel like people be like, you're just tripping, nothing's really wrong with you. But a lot of people go through mental health. They go through depression. They go through schizophrenia. They go through hallucinations. A lot of people go through these type of things, and they're committing suicide because they don't know how to find outlets and how to help. So this project is going to show different traits of mental health and just so people can identify the traits and identify how to fix it, where they can get help from and things like that.
So you said this is a series and it comes in parts. How many parts or how long is this series going to be for?
The series will have seven parts in total.
Okay.
So Collision would be the second part. The first part was Deserted, the web series. So that was the first part. So this is chapter two.
Collision. Okay, chapter two. So Melvin, you the producer. Mm-hmm. What do you produce?
Well, Q and I actually came together on this project. When he actually brought the story to me and actually told it to me, it touched me in a way because mental health actually hits me in personally, in a sense. I actually have a family member that's actually dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And when he actually revealed the storyline to me, it's like, this is something that actually needs to be told. Right. My company, CTK and Affiliates, is a film production company and music production company. So when we actually collaborated to do this series, it was, like I said, a story that needed to be told from a perspective with our mental health, because of the fact that mental health is something that is actually overlooked within our community. It's something that we don't necessarily deal with. Me personally, I say I'm a country boy. I come from, you know, Montgomery, Alabama. And even to this day, when you talk about mental health, just in general, you know, within the African-American community, it's something that's, you know, I'm not going to say laughed at as much anymore, but it's not something that you frowned upon in a sense. You know, you look at it in a way as kind of like, why would you pay someone to talk about your problems about it? That's crazy. You know, when in a sense it's not crazy. It's something that is actually needed, especially in today's age. You know, life hits you so hard that a lot of things that you deal with, you carry so much weight on a daily basis that a lot of things that you deal with can manifest itself in a way to where it can come out in negatively. You know, whether physically or in a way that can land you in a very bad situation. Okay. So, like I said, Collision is one of the projects that I'm producing. My wife and I are actually working on another project as well, which is a cooking show called Faith in Food.
Definitely gotta have faith in some of this food they be out here cooking and stuff in.
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's another project that is in development as well. And then I'm in the process of writing a film. I just got back last night from Los Angeles from working on a film that is going to Sundance in the next couple of months.
I'm just about to ask that. Yeah. What else you got going on?
A buddy of mine who's a Hollywood producer out of Los Angeles. So we just finished a film out there in this past weekend. And we'll be sending it to Sundance. So shout out to Phase 4 Productions and CJ Faison and the entire cast and crew for Junebug. We just shot that this past weekend in Los Angeles. We've been doing some. Dope. Been pretty busy these past couple of months, and with a lot of film production. So, and I'm very excited about this project, Collision. We've been working tirelessly for the last several months, getting our cast and crew together. Everybody's excited, and we'll be starting production very, very shortly, and we're looking forward to, you know, everything that's going to come out of Collision. You know, so please, I guarantee everyone who's watching right now, who will be listening, who's actually listening to, you know, to the TJ Chapman Show, you would not be disappointed when you watch the Collision series. I guarantee you.
Wow, I'm excited about it.
What are the platforms that you'll be able to see it on? Where are you going to have it debuted and so forth?
It will be streaming on YouTube. You'll be able to watch it, stream it there. And you can follow for all the updates on at Collision Series on Instagram and Facebook, and also on YouTube as well.
Okay, awesome, okay. So, D, what role you play in all of this? I mean, we don't talk to the producer. We done talked to the director. So what's your role in all of this? What character you play?
In the show, I play, in chapter one, I play Bishop Deanna Hall, which is Pride. So the show is also wrapped around the seven deadly sins.
Okay.
And I'm one of the main characters that play Pride. Chapter two of Collision, you know, as bishops, they do become counselors. So I'm just Deanna Hall instead of Bishop Deanna Hall, as a counselor for the mental health. As one of the actresses, I'm also the assistant director. I've been with the project since day one. Actually, me and Q, we've been best friends for going on 10 years, so I believe in his vision.
Wow.
His writing is incredible. I mean, it's beyond, and I will follow him until the end of QJW Productions.
Yes. Okay.
On top of Collision, we also have another web series, which is called Random, and which is like a documentary. And it's just basically positivity that we're trying to send to people, you know, all around the world. Let them know that, hey, you know, everything is not all bad. Sometimes it's just a bad day, but you still have tomorrow. And you actually still have the next hour to make a smile on your face. And then I'm an artist, an international artist. Basically, I travel around the Europe area to go sing and stuff, so... And season three of Deserted will be based on that.
Uh-oh, we got a little sing. Give me
Random, sorry.
Sing a little bit of Amazing Grace, just first down. Just a little bit.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a race like me.
I once was lost, but now I found was found, but now I see.
Only black folks can remix that song. Wow, man. Oh, Jesus. Now, Dee done told us what part she played. Now, you know, you have some of these movies that come out, these different series. Now, is the director and the producer, y'all got parts in this too?
No.
I can produce and I can write and direct, but... Okay. All right. So, so tell everybody, how can they follow? Does Collision have its own, you know, social media page, or how can they follow you guys and keep update to when you guys are getting ready to post or launch it?
Absolutely. So, yeah. So you can follow Collision on Facebook and Instagram, and on our YouTube at Collision Series.
Okay.
For all the updates, all the media, all news. As well, you can stay connected with us on all those channels.
And what's your? Do you have a personal page that the fans can follow you as well?
Yes, at Collision Series.
You too? That's your personal too?
Oh, my personal page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can follow me on Instagram at Gene_CTK, and then also my Facebook page is at GeneCTK.
Mine is Facebook. It's Quentin James Washington. On Instagram is QJW Productions. And then on YouTube, it is QJW Production. And what's the other one?
TDR Network.
So that's where we have all of our... You can see Deserted Season 1 on there. You can see Random on there. You'll be able to see all the other projects that we've done, Director's Talk. I went around and interviewed different artists in Orlando,
okay.
In Florida, to get talent out, as well as our charity event that we'll be hosting coming up. So will be a lot that you can see on there.
Okay, perfect. And Dee, how about you? How can the fans follow you?
So all my social media websites is JustDee001. That's JustDee001 for everything.
Oh, man, I definitely appreciate you guys coming on the show, man. Always a pleasure taking time out, busy schedules, to come join us on the set. Definitely my platform is your platform, so whatever you guys need of the TJ Chapman Show, y'all know how to get a hold of me. And, yeah, I got to go, but I want y'all to stay around because we got part two of tonight's topic. So so while we go ahead and pay some bills here, we're going to take a quick break. Make sure you get your glass of wine, cognac, whatever's going to make you feel right, and keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
You hate me. from working
family. We are back. You just heard an interview exclusively here on the TJ Chapman Show. We just talked to the producer, director, and one of the cast members of the series Collision. Can't wait for that to come out. Now, while we was on break, we was, you know, y'all was listening to the smooth sounds of the Stylistics. Now, some of y'all probably don't know who that is. Old school group back in the day. Some of y'all probably wouldn't know that. And it goes well with tonight's topic for the simple fact that a significant other tends to say, hey, you know what, we need a break from each other. Are they really saying they want to break up with you, or are they just doing it because the makeup sex is great? Because the song says break up the makeup. That's all we do. And sometimes it does get old. So D, I'm gonna come back to you on this. Have you ever had a situation where you broke up but you made back up?
Yes. Yes, that situation, it was actually weird, to be honest with you. I'm not going to go into details, but the details that I am going to share is that the argument was ridiculous, and it was over ketchup.
Ketchup?
Y'all must be lying to that. Y'all need somebody to bust that ketchup. It was over ketchup, and the argument got really heated about the way, where it should go. What should it go inside, the refrigerator or the cabinet? Now, my suggestion was putting it inside the cabinet because it doesn't really need to be refrigerated. But the other person thought it should be, and we just went at it. So
you like your ketchup warm?
Yeah, I wouldn't want it cold.
I'm fighting over room temperature ketchup. I love it. Now, part two of that. Once you're in agreement, most time people ain't gonna be in agreement. But part two of it is, like, you know, once you decided, okay, you know what, they're gonna break up, but y'all had that conversation, like, hey, listen, I just need to do this, just respect it. Should there be rules set or some type of stipulations while y'all taking a break from each other?
Yes, I believe so. There definitely needs to be rules.
What kind of rules?
The first rule should be being upfront if you want to start seeing other people during the break. Definitely that needs to be one. The second is no sex with nobody at all.
Well, dang, we ain't together. Why can't I?
Because see, you're not going to come back to me. You know, you're just not going to come back to me with whatever the other person had. So we're going to... But those are probably the main two rules. And I think that's about it, just those two.
Now, we had some questions. We had to put it out there on our page earlier, and we had some mighty good comments from this. What's some of the comments? What are the fans out there saying?
So, it means there is a problem within your relationship that isn't fixable at this point. Your partner isn't happy enough with you at the moment to continue doing what's expected with you, by you, or for you by being in a relationship. This means that they can't breathe or think right about with you around and need time to decide if you are worth continuing the relationship or not with.
That's deep. That
was kind of deep right there. Yeah. I tried to play it like I was reading, like how to make you feel it from the bottom.
That actually was kind of deep because sometimes, I mean, I know, you know, Melvin was saying earlier about, you know, we got to have a conversation, let's go ahead and sit down. And if that's being said to you, I mean, at this point, it's like, okay, you know what? I get it. I understand. Because sometimes if you're still trying to force a situation, you're just gonna make it even worse. So hearing that comment, like, do you agree with that?
I mean, I still think the relationship is fixable, you know, because if a person's saying I need time to think about it, then, you know, that means, all right, if you're thinking about it, that means there's still consideration that you still want to be with me. So I give you that time, especially, you know, me speaking from a married perspective, you know, we tied in this to death do us part. So it's still fixable, you know, until you go down to the court and say, I'm signing these papers, I don't want anything to do with you. And so I still do believe that the relationship is fixable. It's just a matter of we need to figure out, all right, what is the indeed root problem within our relationship? What's the issue? You know, and if we can figure out what the issue is, then we can address that issue and then move forward. But if it is indeed not fixable, if it's indeed that you don't want to be with me and you literally want to be out of the door, then at that point, we have to move forward. We have to go our separate ways at that point.
All right, so Art asked you, he said the door gonna be closed, D said the door gonna be closed. Will you leave the door open? Knowing that you love her. Like, you know what, just give me some time, give me some space, just leave me alone for right now. Will you leave the door open? Will you leave the door open for a return? Return back home, or will you just like, you know what, you wanna leave me? Gone. Let's go on to the co-house. Pay this 450, whatever it costs.
Well, I mean, I'm married, so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I keep my family together, like, period. So that's my goal is I come from not only my grandparents being divorced, but my parents got divorced.
Right.
So I am Melvin Cotton III, and I am not trying to have another Melvin end up in divorce court. So I'm doing everything possible to make sure that my family stays together, and not just for the sake of, you know, I'm not going to be like my grandfather and my father. No, I'm going to have a happy, blessed marriage, and we're going to do everything possible to make that happen. So, all right, we have an argument. All right, so what's the problem? What's the issue? Like, what did I do wrong? Not. Yeah. So, I mean, but it's an issue. Like, what did I do wrong? So it's more, what did I do? Yeah, you made me mad. Yeah, I get that you made me mad. But what did I do? Yeah, so, but I mean, that literally may be the case. What did I do wrong to make you upset? Because there's an issue within, you're not just a problem. I did something too. So exactly what did I do wrong to make you upset? Because, yeah, you a problem. You are a problem. But what did I do too to cause this problem?
You left the toilet seat up in my ass. I almost fell down the
floor. That may be the problem. So, yeah, I mean, no, but he's serious, though. I probably did leave the toilet seat up. So, obviously, I need to make sure when I go in the bathroom to put the toilet seat down. You know, that's an argument that I don't have to have anymore. You know, I mean, that indeed could be an argument in marriage. But it's not the toilet seat. That's just, right, you know, just the topping on fuel, the cake. That's right. Just something that happened that led to something that happened yesterday. And the real issue was what happened yesterday, but the toilet seat just triggered what happened yesterday. That's all that is. So it's in marriage, you just kind of put the pieces together. And that's all. And when you finally get to the real root, it's like, well, this is that's what's been bothering me. And then when you finally have that conversation, you work stuff out. But, you know, I mean, I've only been married 5 years. It's just a matter of learning these things and having the wisdom, you know, well, learning to have the wisdom of listening to older people who've been married 2 and 3 times and not being cocky and just saying, I'm going to do it my way, mm-hmm. you know. So yeah. It's just learning that humbleness. But
so that's where it comes in at, because sometimes people say when you don't, like, you can have selfish ways because you don't want to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, you're selfish. That's why I can't stand to be with you no more. Or I don't want to be around you no more because you don't never take my needs into consideration. I tell you to do something, you don't want to do it. You do it whatever you want to do. Now, it gets to that point, now what you doing? That's why I want to break up with you. Yeah. Or that's why I want to get some time away from you so that you can see how selfish you really are. Or you keep leaving the toilet seat up after that untold you several times and mess around and get an infection, I'm gonna blame you. You do the same thing over and over, then what? Are you really listening, or are you, I just need time away from you, that's it. Are you gonna let her walk out, and or are you just gonna sleep in separate rooms, or you just gonna let her go sleep at mama's house?
You know, that's funny you say that, because I know some situations where there's married couples that have, they got together at a young age, 18, 19, and next thing you know, they were dating, they got married, then they started having kids. Mm-hmm. And so now we got 20, 25 years that's gone by, and nobody really explored. Nobody really, it was just, I'm here, and now we're there. And so you see the world is changing, you see all these, this just so much is happening, and you really never did get the opportunity to find out who you were, because when you got together, you were 18. You love each other. There's no mistaking that. You got your children. You love your children. Everything is, you know, good. But we agree that we did do this kind of early, and we didn't really explore or find out who we were. We grew to be who we are with each other, but not as individuals. So now... the pilgrimage needs to take place. You know, I do love you so much that I want you to be an individual instead of my husband or my wife. You know, I need you to be who you are. And in that instance, that is a good enough excuse or justification that a person do go, you know, they need that break so that they can, I know I'm great with you, but how do I know what I am without you? Because I don't know anything other than just you. You are all I know.
That makes perfect sense.
But then some people will say, well, why would you leave that? I mean, because how the hell do I know what else is out there? Like, how do I know I don't have a real soulmate? I kind of created this to be what it is.
That's like one of the things, I mean, you know, rushed.
That's the created. That's the word you use.
That's created, because it's like, this is something that I wanted, but is that person really something that's needed for you. And so we do create that atmosphere or that situation that we put ourselves in, and now you're just stuck, now you're just mad as hell every day. And even like you said, even with the toilet seat, that's just festering up what has already been built up inside, and all it just took is that one moment. So that's another topic of discussion.
It just wants you to make sure everybody know, you know, people got to know how to, you know, go beyond what this right here, because there's always alternate, you know, there's always something else that could be just as justifiable. Mm-hmm. It's not just that, oh, I don't want to be with you. But now that new age stuff, that new math that they be doing, you know, you just jump in this relationship and then you want to just, oh, I want to break up. But there are some real circumstances out there that would cause a person to go and find themselves. And we always know, too, that we may meet you now, but we better for each other later on.
Oh, that's deep.
So, therefore, we need to take this break so that we can determine that.
I would just say to that extent, because you brought that up, I would just say that, yeah, it would be dangerous to the young people that are listening, just to be careful in which when you're thinking about marriage because of that. When you're that young and you're considering marriage, because of the example you just gave, you know, you want to take that into consideration because of the fact that you are so young and you haven't lived fully and you may not be ready for marriage. And the fact that you may get married so young thinking that you're ready, that by the time you are 25, you realize that this might not have been something that I'm ready for. Because once you're married, you're in marriage with the intent to death do you part. This is something that God created with the intention of a lifelong bond. So you get in it to be in it with this person for the rest of your life, not to get in and then 6, 7, 8 years later realize I need to explore and realize what I'm missing out on life. So and now you're trying to find yourself while you've created this bond with the person and you're supposed to be with them for the rest of your life. So if you are that individual that is considering marriage and you're 18, 19, 20, 21, consider this particular conversation and consider holding off and maybe dating that person that you're in love with and having like that relationship to where you all can continue to build. And then when you're 27, 28, 29 and more mature, then you're and have lived a little bit longer, then you say, all right, I think we're ready now. And I've lived a little bit, and now we can step into this age of marriage, and you don't have to worry about that, this whole aspect of, all right, I need to live some more and put yourself in a situation where you might end up in divorce.
And to be real quick, to just piggyback off that, to people that are in that young age of 18 and 20, it's okay to live. You know, that's just plain and simple. It's okay to live. It's okay to travel. It's okay to do things that you enjoy your life. Exactly. Yes. You only get one. You know, marriage at a young age is, you know, very, very immature to do. My opinion, travel, get your education, especially as women, please get your education, because once you get into that marriage, it's kind of you, him, and the kids.
Focus on your health.
Yeah.
Focus on your health, too.
You and the kids.
Yeah.
try to get you some cut in the kids' way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That can cause separation and collision, too.
But you know, I wanted to also, and I know you know, do your thing, but definitely what you said about you don't want you're doing it because of your father, mm-hmm. you know, your grandfather, everybody else left. Don't get into these marriages because you're trying to prove that you can do better than the next person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You go into it, like you say, to be in love, because you're in love with them,
right,
you know, whatever
right.
age you are, be in love with your mate, and from there, let it build.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right, right.
That's just gospel right there. So, but yeah, man, this has been a great show, like always. Definitely want to thank my special guest for coming out, Q. Matter of fact, y'all, go on and tell the people real quick, what group name y'all just came up with? Y'all had some initials.
That was funny.
it's DQ&L. DQ&L.
Yeah, that was funny.
Gospel group or something. But real quick, though, just some quick announcements. We got Bottomless Conversation T-shirts are still available. They're going fast, though. My girl, Morgan Williams, who's always come on the show as a guest, she still got those T-shirts. Hit her up on her Instagram page, Bottomless Conversations, to order your T-shirt. And also want to go ahead and give a big shout-out to Sonia Robinson for her business that she got going on, Sweets and Serenity. That's what it is, Sweet Serenity. And I told her about the tagline, it's the sweetest thing to come across your tongue. So definitely I say get you something sweet, because if you like sweet things on your tongue, hit her up. She is definitely going to make your tongue worthwhile with those Sweet Serenity desserts. So, but till next week, man, y'all be safe. I love y'all. And remember, keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go. Culture.